This is Tape 4, Side 1, The Summons of the Lord of Hosts, Tablets of Baha'u'llah, continuing from page 146 in the Tablet of the Surya-e Ra'is. Paragraph 13. One of my companions offered up his life, cutting his throat with his own hands for the love of God, an act unheard of in bygone centuries, and which God hath set apart for this revelation as an evidence of the power of his might. Footnote: Haji Jafar-e Tabrizi, he was prevented in time from ending his life. End of footnote. He verily is the unconstrained, the all-subduing. As for the one who thus slew himself in Iraq, he truly is the king and beloved of martyrs, and that which he evinced was a testimony from God unto the peoples of the earth. Footnote on who thus slew himself in Iraq, Syed Ismail of Zabari. End of footnote. Such souls have been influenced by the word of God, have tasted the sweetness of his remembrance, and are so transported by the breezes of reunion that they have detached themselves from all that dwell on earth and turned unto the divine countenance with faces beaming with light. And though they have committed an act which God hath forbidden, he hath nevertheless forgiven them as a token of his mercy. He verily is the ever-forgiving, the most compassionate. So enraptured were these souls by him who is the all-compelling, that the reins of all volition slipped from their grasp, until at last they ascended to the dwelling of the unseen, and entered the presence of God, the Almighty, the All-Knowing. 14. Say, this youth hath departed out of this country, and deposited beneath every tree and every stone a trust, which God will ere long bring forth through the power of truth. Thus hath the True One come, and the command of him who is the Ordainer, the All-Wise, been fulfilled. The hosts of earth and heaven are powerless to resist his cause, nor can all the kings and rulers of the world ever frustrate his purpose. Say, adversity is the oil which feedeth the flame of this lamp, and by which its light is increased, did he but know. Indeed, the repudiation of the froward serveth but to proclaim this faith, and to spread the cause of God and his revelation throughout the world. 15. Great is your blessedness, inasmuch as ye have forsaken your homes and wandered the land for the love of your Lord, the Almighty, the Ancient of Days, until ye entered the land of mystery at a time when the fire of oppression was ablaze and the croaking of the raven of discord had been raised. Ye are my partners in my tribulations, for ye were present with us during the darksome night in which the hearts of those who testify to the unity of God were agitated. Ye entered this land for the sake of our love, and departed therefrom through our command. By the righteousness of God, because of you, the earth itself glorieth over heaven. How excellent is this most sublime, this glorious and exalted bounty! Ye have been deprived of your nest, O birds of eternity, for the sake of your Lord, the unconstrained, but your true abode is beneath the wings of the grace of the All-Merciful. Blessed are they that understand. 16. O my Dabi, may the breaths of the Spirit waft upon thee, and upon such as have sought communion with thee, inhaled from thee the sweet fragrance of my presence, and hearken unto that whereby the hearts of the true seekers are sanctified. Render thanks unto God, inasmuch as thou hast attained unto the shores of this most great ocean, and give ear to the very atoms of the earth proclaiming, This is the best beloved of the worlds. The dwellers of the earth have wronged him and failed to recognize the one whose name they ceaselessly invoke. Lost are such as have remained heedless and have opposed him, for whose loved ones it would have behooved them to offer up their lives, how much more for his own luminous and resplendent beauty. 17. Be thou patient, though thy heart be consumed in its separation from God, for he hath granted thee an exalted station in his presence. Nay, thou art even now standing before his face, and we are imparting unto thee, through the tongue of might and power, such words as even the ears of the sincere ones have been deprived of hearing. Say, were he to utter but one word, that word alone would exceed in sweetness all the sayings of men. 18. Had Muhammad, the apostle of God, attained this day, he would have exclaimed, I have truly recognized thee, O thou the desire of the divine messengers. Had Abraham attained it, he too, falling prostrate upon the ground and in the utmost lowliness before the Lord thy God, would have cried, My heart is filled with peace, O thou Lord of all that is in heaven and on earth. I testify that thou hast unveiled before mine eyes all the glory of thy power and the full majesty of thy law. I bear witness, moreover, that through thy revelation the hearts of the faithful are well assured and contented. Had Moses himself attained it, he likewise would have raised his voice, saying, All praise be to thee for having lifted upon me the light of thy countenance, and enrolled me among them that have been privileged to behold thy face. 19. Consider the people and their condition. Reflect upon the things that their mouths have uttered, and that their hands have wrought in this blessed, this most holy and peerless day. They that have tarnished the good name of the cause of God, and turned unto the evil one, are accursed of all created things, and are numbered among the inmates of the fire. Verily whosoever hath hearkened to my call shall remain unperturbed by the clamor of all that are on earth, and whosoever is influenced by the words of anyone beside me hath never heard my call. By God, such a man is deprived of entering my kingdom, is debarred from my realms of majesty and power, and is of them that are in utter loss. 20. Sorrow not for that which hath befallen thee. Thou hast borne for my love that which most people have never endured. Thy Lord knoweth and is informed of all. He was with thee in the assemblages and gatherings, and heard that which flowed from the wellspring of thy heart in remembrance of thy Lord the All-Merciful. This indeed is a token of his bountiful favor. 21. Ere long will God raise up from among the kings one who will aid his loved ones. He verily encompasseth all things. He will instill in the hearts the love of his loved ones. This indeed is irrevocably decreed by one who is the Almighty, the Beneficent. 22. We beseech God to gladden the hearts of his servants through thy call, to make thee an ensign of guidance in his lands, and to assist through thee those who have been brought low. Heed not the one who raised a loud clamor, and he who raiseth it even now. Let thy Lord, the ever-forgiving, the most generous, be all-sufficient unto thee. Relate unto my loved ones that which thou hast seen, and learned of the tale of this youth, and convey unto them that which we have imparted unto thee. Verily thy Lord assisteth, and watcheth over thee at all times and under all conditions. The blessings of the concourse on high surround thee, and the kindred and the leaves of the holy family who circle round the celestial tree extol thee with a wondrous praise. 23. O pen of revelation, call thou to remembrance him, Anis, whose letter reached us during this darksome night. He it is who wandered from region to region until he entered the city, Adrianople, seeking the shelter of the mercy of his Lord, the Almighty, the Most High. Eagerly awaiting the favors of his Lord, he dwelt therein for a night, but departed therefrom the following morning as bidden by God, filling with sorrow the heart of this youth. To this the Almighty is himself a witness. 24. Great is thy blessedness, for thou hast received the wine of utterance from the hand of the All-Merciful, and became so enraptured by the sweet fragrance of the Best-Beloved, as to renounce thy comfort and to be numbered with them that have hastened unto his paradise, the dawning place of the signs of thy Lord, the gracious, the peerless. Happy the one who hath quaffed the wine of inner mysteries from the countenance of his Lord, and been intoxicated by this pure and crystal draught. By God, it causeth every true believer to soar in the heaven of majesty and grandeur, and transmuteth every doubt into certainty. 25. Grieve not at what hath befallen thee, but put thy whole trust in God, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, the All-Wise. Raise thy house upon the solid foundation of divine utterances, and give praise to thy Lord. He verily shall suffice thee above all the peoples of the earth. 26. God hath in truth inscribed your names upon a tablet, wherein are enshrined the hidden secrets of all that hath been. Ere long shall the faithful call to remembrance your exile and all your journeys in his path. He verily loveth those who love him, and is the helper of the sincere. By the righteousness of God, the eyes of the concourse on high are fixed upon you, and their fingers point towards you. Thus doth the bounty of your Lord encompass you. Would that the people might recognize that which hath escaped them in the days of God, the All-Glorious, the All-Praised. 27. Render thanks unto God for having aided thee to know him and to enter within the precincts of his court at a time when the ungodly surrounded the family of thy Lord and his loved ones and expelled them from their homes with manifest cruelty, intending to separate us at the shore of the sea. Verily thy Lord is aware of that which lieth concealed within the breasts of the unbelievers. Say, even should ye tear our bodies asunder, ye could not banish from our hearts the love of God. We were of a truth created for sacrifice, and in this do we take pride before all creation. 28. O thou who art set aglow with the fire of the love of God, know thou that thy letter hath reached us, and that we have been apprised of its contents. We beseech God to confirm thee in his love and in his good pleasure, to assist thee in the promotion of his cause, and to number thee with such as have arisen for the triumph of his faith. 29. As to thy question regarding the soul, know thou that among the people there are numerous treatises and manifold views as to its stations. Among these are the soul of the kingdom, the soul of the dominion, the celestial soul, the divine soul, the sanctified soul, as well as the benevolent soul, the contented soul, the soul pleasing unto God, the inspired soul, the irascible soul, and the concupiscent soul. Every group hath its own pronouncements concerning the soul, and we are disinclined to dwell upon the sayings of the past. Verily, with thy Lord is the knowledge of the former and latter generations. 30. Would that thou wert present before our throne to hear from the tongue of grandeur itself that which thou desirest, and scale the loftiest heights of knowledge by the grace of him who is the all-knowing, the all-wise. The ungodly, however, have intervened between us. Take heed lest thou be grieved thereby. Be content with that which hath been ordained by an irrevocable decree, and be of them that endure with patience. 31. Know that the soul which is common to all men cometh forth following the commingling of things and after their maturation, as thou dost observe in the germ. Once it hath developed to its predestined stage, God manifesteth the soul that was latent within it. Thy Lord verily doeth what he willeth, and ordaineth what he pleaseth. 32. As to the soul which is intended, in truth it hath been called forth by the word of God, and is such that, if it be kindled with the fire of the love of its Lord, neither the waters of opposition nor the oceans of the world can quench its flame. That soul is indeed a fire ablaze in the tree of man, which proclaimeth, No God is there but him. Whosoever hearkeneth unto its call is verily of those who have attained unto him. And when it casteth off its earthly frame, God shall raise it up again in the most excellent of forms, and cause it to enter a sublime paradise. Thy Lord of a certainty hath power over all things. 33. Know furthermore that the life of man proceedeth from the Spirit, and the Spirit turneth to wheresoever the soul directeth it. Ponder upon that which we have revealed unto thee, that thou mayest recognize the soul of God, which hath appeared above the dayspring of bounty, invested with manifest sovereignty. 34. Know also that the soul is endowed with two wings. Should it soar in the atmosphere of love and contentment, then it will be related to the All-Merciful, and should it fly in the atmosphere of self and desire, then it will pertain to the evil one. May God shield and protect us, and protect you therefrom, O ye who perceive. Should the soul become ignited with the fire of the love of God, it is called benevolent and pleasing unto God. But should it be consumed with the fire of passion, it is known as a concupiscent soul. Thus have we expounded this subject for thee, that thou mayest obtain a clear understanding. 35. O pen of the Most High, recount unto him who hath turned unto thy Lord, the All-Glorious, that which shall enable him to dispense with the sayings of men. Say, spirit, mind, soul, and the powers of sight and hearing are but one single reality, which hath manifold expressions owing to the diversity of its instruments. As thou dost observe, man's power to comprehend, move, speak, hear, and see, all derive from this sign of his Lord within him. It is single in its essence, yet manifold through the diversity of its instruments. This verily is a certain truth. For example, if it directeth its attention to the means of hearing, then hearing and its attributes become manifest. Likewise, if it directeth itself to the means of vision, a different effect and attribute appear. Reflect upon this subject, that thou mayest comprehend the true meaning of what hath been intended. Find thyself independent of the sayings of the people, and be of them that are well assured. In like manner, when this sign of God turneth towards the brain, the head, and such means, the powers of the mind and the soul are manifested. Thy Lord verily is potent to do whatsoever he pleaseth. 36. All that we have mentioned here hath been elucidated in the tablets we have revealed in response to questions regarding the disconnected letters of the Quran. Ponder then, that thou mayest comprehend that which hath been sent down from the kingdom of him who is the Almighty, the All-Praised. Thus have we chosen to be concise in this tablet. We beseech God to acquaint thee through this brief exposition with that which words can never hope to exhaust, and to give thee to drink of the limitless oceans from this cup. Thy Lord verily is the all-bountiful and unassailable in his power. 37. O pen of the Ancient of Days, call thou to remembrance Ali, Mirza Ali Akbar e Nakari, who sojourned with thee in Iraq until the day star of the world departed therefrom. He forsook his home to attain the court of thy presence at a time when we were captive in the hands of such as have been deprived of the sweet savors of the All-Merciful. Grieve not at what hath befallen us and thee in the path of God. Rest assured and persevere. He verily rendereth victorious those who love him, and his might is equal to all things. Whoso turneth unto him brighteneth thereby the faces of the concourse on high, and unto this God himself is my witness. 38. Say, O people, do ye imagine that, after rejecting the one through whom the religions of the world have been made manifest, ye still bear allegiance to the faith of God? By the righteousness of God, ye are accounted among the inmates of the fire. Thus hath the decree been recorded in the tablets by the pen of God. Say, never will the barkings of dogs deter the nightingale from warbling its melodies. Ponder a while, that perchance ye may discover a path leading to the eternal truth. 39. Say, magnified art thou, O Lord my God. I entreat thee by the tears thy lovers have shed in their longing after thee, and by the yearning of those who cry out in their separation from thee, and by thy best beloved who hath fallen into the hands of thine adversaries, to graciously assist those who have sought refuge beneath the sheltering wings of thy favor and loving kindness, and who have yearned for no other Lord except thee. 40. We have forsaken our homes, O Lord, in our eagerness to meet thee, and in our longing to be united with thee. We have traversed land and sea to attain the court of thy presence, and to give ear to thy verses. When we arrived at the shores of the sea, however, we were held back from thee, as the ungodly intervened between us and the light of thy countenance. 41. O Lord, dire thirst hath seized us, and with thee art the soft-flowing waters of eternal life. Potent art thou to do what pleaseth thee. deny us not the object of our quest. Write down then for us the recompense decreed for such of thy servants as enjoy near access to thee, and are wholly devoted to thy will. Make us so steadfast in thy love that naught shall keep us back from thee, or deter us from thine adoration. Powerful art thou to do thy pleasure. Thou verily art the Almighty, the most generous. Page 159, La Irais, paragraph 1. He is in his own right the supreme ruler. The pen of the Most High proclaimeth, O thou who hast imagined thyself to be the most exalted of men, and who hast regarded as the lowliest of all creatures this divine youth, through whom the eyes of the concourse on high have been illumined and made radiant. Footnote on Who Hast Imagined Thyself to Be the Most Exalted of Men. This second tablet of Baha'u'llah addressing Ali Pasha was revealed in Persian shortly after Baha'u'llah's arrival and confinement in Akka. End of footnote, returning to text. This youth hath sought nothing from thee, or from such as are like unto thee, inasmuch as from time immemorial, whenever the manifestations of the All-Merciful and the exponents of His unfading glory have stepped out of the realm of eternity into this mortal world and revealed themselves to revive the dead, men such as thee have considered these sanctified souls and temples of divine oneness upon whom must needs depend the rehabilitation of the peoples of the earth to be stirrers of mischief and worthy of blame. These men verily have all returned unto dust. Thou, too, shalt ere long take abode therein, and find thyself in grievous loss. 2. Even if this life-giver and world-reformer be in thine estimation guilty of sedition and strife, what crime could have been committed by a group of women, children, and suckling mothers, that they should be thus afflicted with the scourge of thine anger and wrath? No faith or religion hath ever held children responsible. The pen of divine command hath exempted them, yet the fire of thy tyranny and oppression encompasseth all. If thou bearest allegiance to any faith or religion, then thou shouldst know that, according to all the heavenly books and all the divinely inspired and weighty scriptures, children are not to be held accountable. Aside from this, not even those who disbelieve in God have perpetrated such unseemly acts. Since from everything an effect become manifest, a fact that none can deny save those who are bereft of reason and understanding, it is certain that the sighs of these children and the cries of these wronged ones will have their due consequence. 3. Ye have plundered and unjustly despoiled a group of people who have never rebelled in your domains, nor disobeyed your government, but rather kept to themselves and engaged day and night in the remembrance of God. Later, when the order was issued to banish this youth, all were filled with dismay. The officials in charge of my expulsion declared, however, these others have not been charged with any offense and have not been expelled by the government. Should they desire to accompany you, no one will oppose them. These hapless souls, therefore, paid their own expenses, forsook all their possessions, and contenting themselves with our presence and placing their whole trust in God, journeyed once again with Him until the fortress of Akka became the prison of Baha. 4. Upon our arrival we were surrounded by guards and confined together, men and women, young and old alike, in the army barracks. The first night all were deprived of either food or drink, for the sentries were guarding the gate of the barracks and permitted no one to leave. No one gave a thought to the plight of these wronged ones. They even begged for water and were refused. 5. Time hath passed, and we all remain confined in these barracks, notwithstanding that during the 5 years we dwelt in Adrianople, all its inhabitants, whether learned or ignorant, rich or poor, bore witness to the purity and sanctity of these servants. At the time this youth was departing from Adrianople, one of the loved ones of God attempted to take his own life. So unbearable to him was the sight of this wronged one in the hands of the oppressors. During the journey, we were thrice compelled to change ships, and it is evident how much the children suffered as a result. Upon disembarking, four of the believers were separated and prevented from accompanying us. As this youth was leaving, one of the four, named Abdul Ghaffar, cast himself into the sea, and no one knoweth what befell him thereafter. Footnote: for an account of this incident, see God Passes By, page 182. 6. All this is but a drop in the ocean of the wrongs that have been inflicted upon us, and still ye are not satisfied. The officials enforce every day a new decree, and no end is in sight to their tyranny. Night and day they conceive new schemes. They have assigned each prisoner from the government storehouse a daily allowance of 3 loaves of bread that no one can eat. From the foundation of the world until the present day, a cruelty such as this neither hath been seen nor heard of. 7. By the righteousness of him who hath caused Baha to speak forth before all that are in heaven and all that on earth, ye have neither rank nor mention among them that have offered up their souls, their bodies, and their substance for the love of God, the All-Powerful, the All-Compelling, the Almighty. A handful of clay is greater in the sight of God than all your dominion and your sovereignty, and all your might and your fortune. Should it be his wish, he would scatter you in dust. Soon will he seize you in his wrathful anger, sedition will be stirred up in your midst, and your dominions will be disrupted. Then will ye wail and lament, and will find none to help or succor you. 8. In making mention of these matters, it is not our purpose to rouse you from your slumber, since the fury of God's wrath has so encompassed you that you shall never take heed. Nor is it our intention to recount the iniquities visited upon these pure and blessed souls, for they have been so intoxicated with the wine of the All-Merciful, and are so carried away with the inebriating effect of the living waters of His loving providence, that even were they to suffer all the cruelties of the world for His sake, they would remain content and yield thanks unto Him. These souls have never held, nor shall they ever hold, any grievance. Nay, their blood continually imploreth and beseecheth the Lord of the worlds, that it might be spilt upon the dust in His path, and their heads yearn to be borne aloft on spears for the sake of the beloved of hearts and souls. 9. Several times calamities have overtaken you, and yet ye failed utterly to take heed. One of them was a conflagration which devoured most of the city with the flames of justice, and concerning which many poems were written, stating that no such fire had ever been witnessed. Footnote on conflagration which devoureth most of the city. A probable reference to the fire of Hokapasa, which destroyed a large part of the city of Constantinople in 1865. And a footnote returning to text. And yet ye waxed more heedless. Plague likewise broke out, and ye still failed to give heed. Be expectant, however, for the wrath of God is ready to overtake you. Ere long will ye behold that which hath been sent down from the pen of my command. 10. Have ye fondly imagined your glory to be imperishable, and your dominion to be everlasting? Nay, by Him who is the All-Merciful, neither will your glory last, nor will mine abasement endure. Such abasement, in the estimation of a true man, is the pride of every glory. 11. When I was still a child and had not yet attained the age of maturity, my father made arrangements in Tehran for the marriage of one of my older brothers, and as is customary in that city, the festivities lasted for 7 days and 7 nights. On the last day it was announced that the play Shah Sultan Salim would be presented. A large number of princes, dignitaries, and notables of the capital gathered for the occasion. I was sitting in one of the upper rooms of the building and observing the scene. Presently a tent was pitched in the courtyard, and before long some small human-like figures, each appearing to be no more than about a hand's span in height, were seen to emerge from it and raise the call, "His Majesty is coming, arrange the seats at once." Other figures then came forth, some of whom were seen to be engaged in sweeping, others in sprinkling water, and thereafter another, who was announced as the chief town crier, raised his call and bade the people assemble for an audience with the king. Next, several groups of figures made their appearance and took their places, the first attired in hats and sashes after the Persian fashion, the second wielding battle axes, and the third comprising a number of footmen and executioners carrying bastinados. Finally, there appeared, arrayed in regal majesty and crowned with the royal diadem, a kingly figure, bearing himself with the utmost haughtiness and grandeur, at turns advancing and pausing in his progress, who proceeded with great solemnity, poise, and dignity to seat himself upon his throne. 12. At that moment a volley of shots was fired, a fanfare of trumpets were sounded, and a king and tent were enveloped in a pall of smoke. When it had cleared, the king, ensconced upon his throne, was seen surrounded by a suite of ministers, princes, and dignitaries of state, who, having taken their places, were standing at attention in his presence. A captured thief was then brought before the king, who gave the order that the offender should be beheaded. Without a moment's delay, the chief executioner cut off the thief's head, whence a blood-like liquid came forth. After this, the king held audience with his court, during which intelligence was received that a rebellion had broken out on a certain frontier. Thereupon the king reviewed his troops and dispatched several regiments, supported by artillery, to quell the uprising. A few moments later, cannons were heard booming from behind the tent, and it was announced that a battle had been engaged. 13. This youth regarded the scene with great amazement. When the royal audience was ended, the curtain was drawn, and after some 20 minutes, a man emerged from behind the tent, carrying a box under his arm. 14. What is this box? I asked him, and what was the nature of this display? 15. All this lavish display and these elaborate devices, he replied, the king, the princes, and the ministers, their pomp and glory, their might and power, and everything you saw, are now contained within the box. 16. I swear by my Lord, who, through a single word of his mouth, hath brought into being all created things. Ever since that day, all the trappings of the world have seemed in the eyes of this youth akin to that same spectacle. They have never been, nor will they ever be, of any weight and consequence, be it to the extent of a grain of mustard seed. How greatly I marveled that men should pride themselves upon such vanities, whilst those possessed of insight, ere they witness any evidence of human glory, perceive with certainty the inevitability of its waning. Never have I looked upon anything, save that I have seen extinction before it, and God verily is a sufficient witness. 17. It behooveth everyone to transverse this brief span of life with sincerity and fairness. Should one fail to attain unto the recognition of Him who is the eternal truth, let him at least conduct himself with reason and justice. Ere long these outward trappings, these visible treasures, these earthly vanities, these arrayed armies, these adorned vestures, these proud and overweening souls, all shall pass into the confines of the grave, as though into that box. In the eyes of those possessed of insight, all this conflict, contention, and vainglory hath ever been, and will ever be, like unto the play and pastimes of children. Take heed, and be not of them that see and yet deny. 18. Our call concerneth not this youth and the loved ones of God, for they are already sore tried and imprisoned, and expect nothing from men such as thee. Our purpose is that thou mayest lift up thy head from the couch of heedlessness, shake off the slumber of negligence, and cease to oppose unjustly the servants of God. So long as thy power and ascendancy endure, strive to alleviate the suffering of the oppressed. Shouldst thou judge with fairness and observe with the eye of discernment the conflicts and pursuits of this transient world, thou wouldst readily acknowledge that they are even as the play which we have described. 19. Hearken unto the words of the one true God, and pride thyself not in the things of this world. What hath become of those like unto thee, who falsely claimed lordship on earth, who sought to quench the light of God in his land, and to destroy the foundation of his mighty edifices in his cities? Where are they to be seen now? Be fair in thy judgment, and return unto God, that perchance he might cancel the trespasses of thy vain life. Alas, we know that thou shalt never attain unto this, for such is thy cruelty, that it hath made hell to blaze and the spirit to lament, and hath caused the pillars of the throne to shake and the hearts of the faithful to tremble. 20. O peoples of the earth, incline your inner ears to the call of this wronged one, and pause to reflect upon the story that we have recounted. Perchance he may not be consumed by the fire of self and passion, nor allow the vain and worthless objects of this nether world to withhold you from him who is the eternal truth. Glory and abasement, riches and poverty, tranquility and tribulation, all will pass away, and all the peoples of the earth will ere long be laid to rest in their tombs. It behooveth therefore every man of insight to fix his gaze upon the goal of eternity, that perchance by the grace of him who is the ancient king, he may attain unto the immortal kingdom, and abide beneath the shade of the tree of his revelation. 21. Though this world be fraught with deception and deceit, yet it continually warneth all men of their impending extinction. The death of the Father proclaimeth to the Son that he too shall pass away. Would that the inhabitants of the world who have amassed riches for themselves and have strayed far from the True One might know who will eventually lay hand on their treasures. But by the life of Baha, no one knoweth this save God, exalted be his glory. 22. The poet Sana'i, may God mercy rest upon him, hath said, "Take heed, O ye whose unseemly conduct hath darkened your faces. Take heed, O ye whose beards have been whitened by age." Alas, most of the people are fast asleep. They are even as the man who, in his drunkenness, became attracted to a dog, took it in his embrace, and made it his plaything, and who, when the morn of discernment dawned and the light of the sun enveloped the horizon, realized that the object of his affection was but a dog. Then, filled with shame and remorse, he repaired to his abode. 23. Think not that thou hast abased this youth or prevailed over him. The least of creatures ruleth over thee, and yet thou perceivest not. The lowliest and most abject of all things holdeth sway over thee, and that is none other than self and passion, which have ever been reprehensible. Were it not for God's consummate wisdom, thou wouldst have been able to plainly behold thine own helplessness and that of all who dwell on earth. Our abasement is indeed the glory of his cause, could ye but understand. 24. This youth hath ever been disinclined to breathe a word contrary to courtesy, for courtesy is our raiment, wherewith we have adorned the temples of our well-favored servants. Otherwise, some of the deeds that ye believe to be concealed would have been divulged in this tablet. 25. O exponent of might and power, these young children and these poor ones in God did not need to be accompanied by officers and soldiers. Upon our arrival in Gallipoli, a major by the name of Umar came into our presence. God is well aware of what he said. After some exchanges in which his own innocence and thy guilt were mentioned, we declared, "From the outset a gathering should have been convened at which the learned men of this age could have met with this youth in order to determine what offense these servants have committed. But now the matter hath gone beyond such considerations, and according to thine own assertion, thou art charged with incarcerating us in the most desolate of cities. There is a matter which, if thou findest it possible, I request thee to submit to His Majesty the Sultan, that for 10 minutes this youth be enabled to meet him, so that he may demand whatsoever he deemeth as sufficient testimony
and regardeth as proof of the veracity of him who is the truth. Should God enable him to produce it, let him, then, release these wronged ones and leave them to themselves. 26. He promised to transmit this message and to give us his reply. We received, however, no news from him. Although it becometh not him who is the truth to present himself before any person, inasmuch as all have been created to obey him, yet in view of the condition of these little children and the large number of women so far removed from their friends and countries, we have acquiesced in this matter. In spite of this, nothing hath resulted. Umar himself is alive and accessible. Inquire from him that the truth may be made known unto you. 27. Most of our companions now lie sick in this prison, and none knoweth what befell us except God, the Almighty, the All-Knowing. In the days following our arrival, two of these servants hastened to the realms above. For an entire day the guards insisted that until they were paid for the shrouds and burial, those blessed bodies could not be removed, although no one had requested any help from them. At that time we were devoid of earthly means, and pleaded that they leave the matter unto us and allow those present to carry the bodies, but they refused. Finally, a carpet was taken to the bazaar to be sold, and the sum obtained was delivered to the guards. Later it was learned that they had merely dug a shallow grave into which they had placed both blessed bodies, although they had taken twice the amount required for shrouds and burial. 28. The pen is powerless to depict, and the tongue faileth to describe the trials which we have suffered. Yet sweeter than honey to me is the bitterness of such tribulations. Would that at every instant all the afflictions of the world could, in the path of God and for the sake of his love, be visited upon this evanescent soul who is immersed in the ocean of divine knowledge. 29. We implore God for patience and forbearance, inasmuch as thou art but a feeble creature and bereft of comprehension. Wert thou to awaken and inhale the fragrance of the breezes that waft from the retreats of eternity, thou wouldst readily abandon all that thou dost possess, and in which thou dost rejoice, and choose to abide in one of the dilapidated rooms of this most great prison. Beseech God to grant thee such mature understanding as to enable thee to distinguish praiseworthy actions from those which merit blame. Peace be upon him who followeth the way of guidance. Page 175, the La'i'ul-Fawad. Paragraph 1, footnote on the tablet. The La'i'ul-Fawad was addressed to Sheikh Kazim Isamandar of Qazvin, one of the apostles of Baha'u'llah. Its subject, the former Ottoman statesman Fuad Pasha, died in France in 1869. The letter names Kaf and Za refer to the K and Z of Kazim. And a footnote. He is the most holy, the most gracious. Kaf, Za. We call unto thee from beyond the sea of grandeur, upon the crimson land, above the horizon of tribulation. Verily no God is there save him, the Almighty, the most generous. Walk thou steadfastly in my cause, and follow not the ways of those who, upon attaining unto the object of their desire, denied God, the Lord of Lords. Ere long shall he lay hold upon them in his wrath, and he verily is the all-powerful, the all-subduing. 2. Know thou that, through the power of his sovereign might, God hath seized him who was the foremost amongst them that passed judgment against us. When he saw his torment approaching, he fled to Paris to seek recourse to physicians. 3. Is there none to help me? He asked. 4. He was smitten upon the mouth and told, there is no escape. See reference to Quran 38, verse 3. 5. And when he turned towards the angel of wrath, he well nigh expired from fear. I have a house full of riches, he pleaded. I have a palace on the Bosphorus, beneath which the rivers flow. 6. The angel replied, No ransom shall be accepted from thee on this day, even shouldst thou offer up all things visible and invisible. Hearest thou not the sighs of the kindred of God, whom thou didst cast into prison without proof or testimony? Thy deed hath provoked the lamentation of the inmates of paradise, and of those who circle morn and eve round the throne on high. The wrath of thy Lord hath descended upon thee, and stern is he in his chastisement. Quran 13, verse 13. 7. He made reply, I held command over the people, and here is the mandate of my authority. 8. Hold thy peace, O denier of the day of judgment. Quran 40, verse 32. 9. He implored, Is no respite possible so that I may send for my family? 10. Far from it, O disbeliever in the verses of God. 11. Thereupon the keepers of the fathomless abyss called unto him, The gates of hell have opened wide to receive thee, O thou who hast turned away from thy Lord, the unconstrained. Repair unto its fire, for it yearneth after thee. Hast thou forgotten, O rejected one, when thou wert the Nimrod of the age, how thy tyranny eclipsed the very cruelties of Pharaoh, the Lord of the Stakes? Quran 38, verse 12 and 89, verse 10. By God, thine iniquity hath rent asunder the veil of sanctity, and caused the pillars of heaven to tremble. Where canst thou find refuge now? Who shall protect thee from the dreadful scourge of thy Lord, the all-compelling? There is no haven for thee in this day, O ungodly doubter. Whereupon the agony of death seized him, and he saw no more. Thus did we lay hold on him in our wrathful anger, and severe is thy Lord in his punishment. 12. Then an angel from the right hand of the throne summoned him. Behold, the angel of affliction. Is there any place to flee to save him?